Welcome to Corporate Watchdog Radio, the inaugural edition of this program, which comes to you every other week on Wednesday from 4 till 4:30. So that would be the first and third Wednesdays of the month. Here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP, 103.3 FM, Northampton. And I'm your host, Bill Bowie. And my co-host is Stanford Lewis, who is on the West Coast this month, and so unfortunately will not be able to join us. But this is a program dedicated to holding corporations accountable for their social, environmental, and economic impacts from both a positive and a negative perspective. In other words, we are looking to expose negative impacts and applaud positive impacts where appropriate. Today's program will be focused on Walmart, and there's almost too much to say about Walmart currently on both sides of that line, and we're going to be helped out in doing this by an on-site report by our correspondent Jody Shapiro, and we're also going to be helped out by some commentary from Sister Ruth Rosenbaum, who is the executive director of the Center for Reflection, Education, and Action in Hartford, Connecticut, who has interacted with Walmart as a shareholder activist. So, in other words, holding shares of Walmart gives her the right to dialogue with the company about its social and environmental impact. But before we take it over to Jody, who was on the Amherst Commons at the farmers market this past weekend, let me just give you a brief outline or a framework of what's been happening with Walmart lately. On October 24th of the year 2005, so just a couple of weeks ago, the CEO of Walmart, Lee Scott, made a speech entitled 21st Century Leadership, and it really sent shockwaves through the corporate social responsibility community because Mr. Scott proposed many, many progressive changes for Walmart, at least in the proposal form. Among these were achieving 100% renewable energy, zero waste, and sustainable products, with no clear timeline, however, on those. But he did give some other proposals with clear timelines, such as increasing truck fleet fuel efficiency by 25% over the next 3 years and doubling it over the next decade, reducing greenhouse gas emissions worldwide by 20% over the next 7 years, and eliminating 30% of energy use in stores. On the social side of things, he proposed separating global factory certification from the purchasing functions and increasing independent monitoring. So this has to do with the global supply line and particularly factories in regions that do not have particularly good labor or human rights guarantees, such as China. He also proposed encouraging Congress to increase minimum wage and increasing the percentages of women and minority managers at Walmart, while also proposing to disclose information on these initiatives. So that gives you an idea of what the rhetoric coming out of Walmart is. Of course, the reality may or may not match the rhetoric. For an idea of how Walmart may impact things locally, Walmart is planning to open up a new superstore here in the Valley the Pioneer Valley of Massachusetts. And that is slated to happen soon, but there is still the possibility that it may not. And so for more on that particular issue, we're going to take it over to Jody Shapiro with a a recorded report.
Reporting for Corporate Watchdog Radio. I'm here at the Amherst Farmers Market, surrounded by wonderful farmers and their wares, fruits and vegetables, flowers, cheeses, meats, plants to plant in your garden from the local area, from all around the Pioneer Valley. This is one of the last markets of the year. Nothing could be nicer than an autumn afternoon or autumn morning here. Saturday morning, November 5th at 11 in the morning, from 11 until 1, there's going to be a rally here on the green behind me on the Amherst Town Common. The rally will be for StopSprawlMart.org, the new organization that is trying to prevent an enormous new Walmart from being built here in the valley.
Excuse me, we're trying to stop Walmart and save downtowns and local businesses. Thank you, sir. Excuse me, we're trying to stop Walmart. Let me put one of these in here for you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We have a rally right here next weekend.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, we're trying to stop Walmart and save downtowns and local businesses. There's something you can do. We have a rally right here next weekend.
So, Aaron Goldman.
Hi.
So, you are the man behind StopSprawlMart.org here in the valley.
There are many of us.
So, how'd you get involved in this?
We've moved to the valley for quality of life, and nothing really could threaten this quality of life more than the prospect of a new triple-sized Walmart. Rather than occupy its current space and either just stay there or expand it, they're going to leave an empty shell behind, move across the street so they can be even closer to their next competitor. Walmart has a corporate strategy that has nothing to do with local demand and community needs. Their corporate strategy, sort of like the Burger King McDonald's phenomenon, is go head-to-head with your competitor wherever they are, anywhere in the country. In this case, it's Target. And they're not satisfied to be across the street from Target. They want to move right next door to Target, share a wall with them, and literally overshadow them. So they're moving right downtown on Route 9 next to Target, and they're going to expand east and south over some beautiful acreage of wetlands and farmland, and 52 acres of it. And a lot of it's going to be parking lot, and a lot of it will be actually their building. These are beautiful acres, by the way. We have some incredible photos. And we've also now identified no fewer than 4, and that number will probably grow, 4 protected species, including a frog, a turtle, and 2 varieties of falcon. So the effect on protected species, scenic beauty, the flood control properties of wetlands, which we know about from Katrina and elsewhere, will be compromised once we pave over these wetlands. The threat to local agriculture, which you can see, is so vibrant and wonderful here today at the farmers market. Excuse me, we're trying to stop Walmart and save downtown and local businesses. We have a big rally next weekend right here.
Okay.
It's not too late. People do have some power. The combined effect of the 3 different projects that are happening almost simultaneously is almost guaranteed to nearly double traffic on Route 9. So if you already consider Route 9 a traffic-choked eyesore, just wait.
Doubling the traffic on Route 9?
45,000 new car trips every single day. I almost can't fathom what that would be, but... And these are the developers' estimates, so in reality you can expect them to be larger. And actually, at the last public hearing, there were some computer simulations of what that traffic would look like. And you'd think the developers would want to show that, oh, it's really not that bad, look at the simulation. But it was grinding traffic. And then when they took away one curb cut, one less entrance to the mall, as the town had suggested they consider, it was almost a standstill. So even by the developer's estimate, it's going to be gridlock. So it's in all of our best interests, no matter what your priorities, to get behind this issue and get involved now. If there's not a petition to sign, that's not how to make change in this situation. There's nothing to vote on right now if you don't live in Hadley. That's not the way to make change right now. The way to make change is to go to the website, StopSprawlMart.org, and get involved. Contact us and volunteer. There are lots of things to do.
So it's a contrast between fair labor practices, supporting local people, keeping money work in the community, places like the farmer's market here where there's organic goods raised by people who've grown them themselves, or cheap goods coming in from other places where American jobs have been shipped offshore, cheap stuff coming back here.
One of the lovely things about the Valley is we don't just think about what's going on in our own backyards. We have a broader sensibility, and we care about national issues. We care about international issues. And foreign labor practices is a really important reason to be against the new Walmart. Just about everything that Walmart sells is from China. I sometimes say they might as well rename Walmart to China Imports, because that's what it is. And we have an Amherst resident who runs an organization called Verite, which is at verite.org, which monitors corporations' foreign factory conditions, has told us at an early event we had that basically if you're making stuff in China, you've got labor violations. And things are sort of slowly improving, but even the model company is going to have violations at a factory in China. So if you want substandard working conditions, send your manufacturing to China. And that's exactly what Walmart does.
So what about the idea that a new gigantic Walmart across the street from the Walmart we already have is going to create more jobs for folks here in the Valley?
We hear that all the time. And that's one of Walmart's selling points. They have their PR machine going. And if you can imagine, they're a little bit more slick than we are, telling people that look at all the new jobs we're creating. Well, first of all, the studies are showing, and you can see those at our website, that the net effect on employment is negative. People lose jobs at dozens of businesses every time a Walmart comes in. And let's also talk about entry-level jobs for the working poor. People make less at Walmart, fair and square. That's just how it is. You'll make more at a local business. You'll even make more at another big box store. Walmart is particularly pernicious, even worse than the others. For example, average wages for a sales associate are 15 to 20% lower at Walmart than they are at other big box stores. And benefits are worse. Employees have to make their own personal contributions to their benefits plan and sometimes get government subsidies to the tune of $2.7 billion a year annually that is shifted from Walmart's responsibility to taxpayers' responsibility.
So we're losing decent jobs downtown, losing them out to lousy jobs where people get treated badly, and that destroy community if you take a job at Walmart.
Yes, Walmart creates jobs, but it destroys more, and the jobs it creates are inferior to almost any other job you might be able to find.
Thanks to Jody and Aaron for that report. We'll be going back to Jody and Aaron at the Amherst Common from this past weekend a little bit later in the program. Just a reminder, you're listening to Corporate Watchdog Radio here on Valley Free Radio with your hosts Bill Bowie and not here today, but regularly Sanford Lewis. I am a journalist writing for the socialfunds.com website and so covering socially responsible investing and corporate social responsibility. And Sanford is an environmental lawyer and filmmaker. So we are bringing two different perspectives on corporate social responsibility to the table in this program. And we are going to be hearing from Ruth Rosenbaum, the executive director of the Center for Reflection, Education, and Action in Hartford in just a little bit. Until then, let me fill you in on a little bit more about what has been happening recently with Walmart. Only a few days after CEO Lee Scott gave the speech that I referred to, which you can find on the Walmart website, by the way, if you are interested in reading that speech in its entirety, the New York Times released a confidential memo to the Walmart board that was picked up by one of the anti-Walmart website organizations, Walmart Watch. So that memo is posted on their website as well. And that found that Walmart acknowledged a 46% of the children of Walmart employees in the U.S. do not have health insurance or are on Medicaid. We have a call coming in, so I'm going to switch it on over back to the report, and we'll be back to you, with you in just a minute.
So let's think about this. Gridlock on Route 9 and the feeder roads, the little feeder roads that come out from the farmland in Hadley.
Yep.
Products made under exploitative conditions from jobs shipped overseas and pulled out of our own downtowns. No employment benefit for local people. And we can still stop them here in the valley.
There is still hope. The first step you can take is to come right here to downtown Amherst on November 5th, next weekend, on Saturday from 11 to 1. We're having a huge rally right here on the town common. There'll be 300 people or more. There'll be full media representation, three or four different political representatives, religious leaders, performers, music, family fun. So that's the first thing you can do. Come by. The second thing is sign up to become a volunteer. We're sensationally understaffed. We can't do this without your help. If you do nothing, they will come. And what are some of the other steps? There are letters to write to a variety of state agencies. Those are all listed with the background and contact information on the website, stopsprawlmart.org. Well, it's natural these days to feel like regular people have no control and can do nothing. But the truth is, with Lowe's, there's not much we can do. They're coming. With Home Depot, they're already moving around dirt. There's not much we can do there. That's going to be devastating, too. But Walmart, they have not gotten all their permits. They have not broken ground yet. There are many things we can do, actually. But if we do nothing, they will come. That's for sure. And there's reason to be cynical if you're not going to do anything. But there's plenty to do in this case.
Aaron Goldman of StopSprawlMart.org, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jody.
This has been Jody Shapiro reporting for Corporate Watchdog Radio.
Thanks to Jody for that. And we have Sister Ruth Rosenbaum on the line. Sister Ruth, thank you for joining us. Okay. We have Sister Ruth Rosenbaum on the line.
Sister Ruth, can you hear us?
Sure.
Okay.
I can hear you. I can't hear anybody else.
Okay. And you are joining us from the Business for Social Responsibility Conference down in Washington, D.C. Is that correct?
Sister Ruth, you're joining us from the Business for Social Responsibility Conference down in D.C. Is that correct?
I am. I don't know if you want to refer to that or... I mean, whether that I'm coming from there or from Craig, it doesn't make any... I mean, anyway, it doesn't matter. Whatever you want.
Yeah, Sister Ruth is the executive...
Sister Ruth is the executive director of the Center for Reflection, Education, and Action in Hartford. And you've also done shareholder action with Walmart. And so you have a familiarity with the company. So I guess just to start out with, I was wondering what your initial take on the announcements by CEO Lee Scott last week. What is your immediate response to those announcements and the proposals of action on environmental and social issues?
Well, let me just step back for a minute and say that I've been involved in shareholder activity with a lot of different corporations. We have, CREA, our organization, has served as an advisor to a number of people who are involved with the actual Walmart dialogue, but we have not been specifically involved with it, even though we've been involved with the Walmart issues and we've been involved with serving this advisory capacity with a lot of the other organizations. Sometimes there can be so many people that are involved in a dialogue that it becomes too cluttered and so on. So I just wanted to make that clear. We were not one of the filers of the resolution, but that really doesn't make any difference. In response to the speech that Lee Scott gave and the announcements about the programs and so on, I had a mixed response to some of them. I think that if you take a look at the environmental proposals that he has, I could imagine Walmart doing some of them, if not all of them, simply because they are going to be cost beneficial to the company. If you take a look at each one of those, they are things that the company could reap a financial benefit from, and so it would make sense that the company would think about doing some of these things in their stores. So I can't imagine those happening. When it comes to things like raising the minimum wage or universal health care or any of those types of things, I have to say, honestly, I'm really a little bit more skeptical. Let me just take them in pieces. If you take first the minimum wage, I think that any company can say they're going to join a broad-based network, if you want, of people to raise the minimum wage. But since Congress just recently refused to do just that, I think it just provides them with some publicity and no substance to say that they're going to campaign for something like this. I honestly, in the present Congress and so on, cannot imagine it happening, even though I think that it is long, long overdue. So, yeah, they say it, but I don't think it's going to cost them anything to say that they're going to be in such a broad-based campaign. The other thing is that if it were to happen that if Congress were to raise the minimum wage, then companies who then comply with that, all right, would not end up being penalized by Wall Street. And I think that's another component of this, is how Wall Street looks on any raise in wages that any particular company offers to its employees. So that this would provide a piece of protection from that kind of critique, and I can easily see Walmart saying they're going to do it. But again, you know, nothing really of substance happening from it. When it comes to the medical insurance, I have to say I'm much, much more skeptical. Number one, my question is I have a number of questions for them. Who would be eligible for this broader-based health care? Are they also talking about their part-time employees? Because the percentage of Walmart employees who are part-time, you can be working up to 34 hours and still be considered a part-time employee. It's not just half-time or a little bit above half-time and so on, all right? Number one. Number two, the deductible is huge. It's still $1,000 deductible, and even though they're saying the first three visits to a doctor in a year or the first three prescriptions, as long as they're generic, would be minimal cost, for a family, three doctor's visits is nothing. I mean, think about if your whole family gets sick with the flu or has a bad cold or something. That is three visits, so we're not talking about the family going, or having more than one member of your family going to the doctor, not being one visit. That counts as three visits and so on. So the ability to use that up very quickly would be there, and then you would still be left with these huge deductibles. If you want to see what the deductible means, take the minimum wage, which is different in different states. Take the minimum wage and divide that into $1,000 and see how many hours a worker would have to work to be able to meet that deductible before they're going to be able to have the health insurance kick in. All right, that gives you some idea, really, of the value of this this new health insurance that they would be offering. So I don't see these things as great improvements. I think it's a lot of talk. I don't think in terms of substance, all right, that workers are going to end up seeing very much from it. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, and I guess the other thing that I was interested, I just mentioned the memo that came out in the New York Times piece, and so I wonder, but I didn't get a chance to really tell listeners in depth about that. So I was just wondering if you could, what is your take on that memo? Because it reveals some kind of startling attitudes towards workers on the part of the Walmart board.
Well, I think that, first of all, for any company, for any organization, all right, health insurance costs, not health care costs, but health insurance costs are huge, and they're getting higher, and nobody sees any turning around from that, all right? In this memo, the person who created the memo for the board is talking about ways to decrease Walmart's health care costs. In one very striking section, the person talks about how if you've been with Walmart for 5 years, you're making more money than if you've been with Walmart just for 1 year, but the level of productivity is the same. And so what can be done in the way jobs are structured to kind of discourage anybody from staying with Walmart for, let's say, 5 years or for any length of time where the wages go up, you know, in terms of seniority and how long you've been there, longevity, I guess would be the word I want. All right. I think, though, that, I mean, it seems very callous when you read it. I think it is, it's not a surprise. It's a surprise to see it in writing. It's a surprise that it's structured as callously as it is. But I will say it doesn't come as a surprise that companies are thinking this way simply because the question of how to meet healthcare costs is just ever-present for everybody. And I think that, you know, the obvious answer to all of this, and this is not a question of the memo, but the obvious answer to all of this is for all of us, and this is not pro or con Walmart at all, to be looking at universal health care. And I'm very careful to say universal health care, not universal health insurance. Because if you just talk about universal health insurance, we're not talking about what type of insurance, what it would cover, who it would be applied to, and so on, what the co-pays would be. I think the answer to all of this is universal health, universal health care, and take the insurance component out of it totally. All right. I think that if we could find a way to structure this and to structure a campaign and to educate people about what this could mean, all right, I think that some of the issues that are very blatantly raised in the memo, that we would have a way of addressing them. And it could be one of the things, one of the positive things that I've heard as a result of the memo is people beginning to talk about this creatively again. It's almost like the memo is so callous, it's so cold, that it kind of spurred people to begin talking about how do we deal with the whole healthcare issue here in the U.S. But the memo itself is really outrageous.
Well, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but the way that you're talking about it is really looking at it from a systematic approach or a systemic approach. And I know that CREA does.
So you do everything.
Yeah, you do systemic analysis, and so I guess that's where I'd ask sort of to end up comments is about looking at this systemically, and you know, from a systemic perspective, do you think that the announcements that Walmart is making are largely going to end up as sort of advancing its public relations image without having the kind of substance that would be necessary to make systemic change? Or do you think that there is the promise of some systemic change coming out of these announcements from Walmart?
When the first memo, when Lee Scott made his speech, all right, and we had the first pieces, I had no hope of it affecting any kind of systemic anything, to be honest with you, all right? I think that the memo that was leaked is so outrageous that it is pushing people to begin looking at this, at the healthcare issue, at the wage issue, at the tax-based and community issue, and so on. It's really has pushed people back into conversation about these things and about at least being willing to talk about some of these issues systemically. So that might be a very positive thing that came out of all of this. I don't think it was the purpose of the memo. We don't think it's the purpose of Lee Scott's speech. But I think it is something that we might see coming out of this. But the first thing, it used to be when you talked about universal health care, they'd say, oh, yeah, but look at how terrible it is up in Canada. Look at how terrible it is here, you know, in this country or that country. You know, they're rationing health care. I think now people are willing to realize that we are rationing health care in the U.S. We're rationing it by who can afford it, and we're rationing it in terms of the insurance companies telling the doctors what it is they can prescribe, what tests they can have done, what surgeries can be done, and so on. That is a form of rationing. So the raising up of these issues again, for me, is the one positive thing that is coming out of this. My hope is that it would continue long enough that we'd be able to unite people enough to get some serious discussion on these things.
So we should thank Walmart for issuing that callous memo in some ways.
We should thank the person who leaked it. But certainly the person who leaked it. But it really is an amazing thing to me how people are so outraged by this memo that they're beginning to talk about the issue systemically again. And for a long time, it was really very hard to get people to begin looking at the question systemically. I think the outrage is, this is going to sound funny, but I think the outrage is so outraged, all right, that it's like, well, we have to find a better way to do this because it can't possibly be the way this memo fits.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that this might give us a little piece of something positive out of all of it. At the same time, if that doesn't happen, or in the time that it doesn't take, we still need to be very vigilant about the impact that Walmart is having, not only on the lives of workers, but on local communities and so on, most especially in terms of the erosion of tax base.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Sister Ruth, for joining us here on Corporate Watchdog Radio. Perhaps we will call on you again in the future to talk about issues about corporations that you have done shareholder activism with.
Sure. So, sure, I'd be happy to. Okay, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.
You've been listening to Corporate Watchdog Radio here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM. And you can listen to this program every other Wednesday, first and third Wednesday of the month, from 4 until 4:30.